verse to you out of Philippians chapter 4. Here in just a moment, you can be making your way there to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Philippians 4 and 4. I told some of the men earlier, I went home with Brother Ernest and Sister Willistine, and he's running about on half a tank this evening because every time he'd start to doze off, I'd come up with a question to ask him. I didn't do that to Sister Willistine. I let her catch a little nap, but I'm picking about that. We had a good visit over there, and I appreciate y'all praying for Shanda. She said she's doing a little better, so keep praying for her. We talked about in the prayer room that I might be the trouble she was having. I might have been what was causing her to have chest pains. Some of them said, well, if it starts back up when you get home, we'll know for sure. So I'll keep you updated as far as that goes. Enjoyed the singing tonight, that trio and then the choir. That was good. Y'all keep that up. That's a blessing. I intended on being in Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20 and 21 this evening, preaching to you on He's More Than Enough. But I feel that the Lord directed me a different direction, and I don't mean to sound super spiritual or anything like that. But my old pastor, one thing, if he taught me anything, he probably tried to teach me many things, but if there was at least one thing that he got through to me before I started pastoring and was out from under his wing was this: always be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God nudging you to go in a different direction. Somebody said one time, God doesn't put a premium on disorganization, but yet at the same time, be careful not to organize God out of a service just because you have intended and prepared to go a certain direction. Well, if the Spirit of God nudges you to go a different direction, you better go the direction that you've been nudged. And so I know that that's the case. So I don't necessarily have a message or an outline. I have some thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. And I said I wanted to read to you from Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Here's what the Bible says in this text. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, we know who the penman is, don't we? We know that the Apostle Paul is the penman. He's writing to his sweetheart church, the church at Philippi. It's the only church that he didn't have a rebuke for. But then again, not only do we know who the penman is, but we know who the author is, don't we? We know that the Holy Ghost of God is the author. All Scripture, given by inspiration of God. And so that means God breathed, and we know that. And so when the Word of God tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, it's not necessarily that we should look at it as the Apostle Paul telling us to do this, but it is the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus Himself telling us to rejoice in the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. And again I say rejoice. Now, the first thing that you're going to hear as a rebuttal to this command, and that's what it is, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The first rebuttal you'll hear is somebody's going to say, well, we don't always have something to rejoice over. And I understand the thought. I understand the sentiment there. You know, sometimes we drag ourselves into the house of God, do we not? Drag ourselves in bloodied and wounded and really don't even feel fit to be there because of things going on in our world and our life personally. And we just drag ourselves in. I'm going to take a little liberty here and tell you, years ago I used to have a song leader. Good man, saved man, loved God. But he had an inability to understand that people live in a real world. And some Sundays he would come in there and he would get behind the pulpit and he'd say, bless God, why don't y'all smile? If you're saved, tell your face that you are. And that sort of a thing. And I understand that sentiment. But the thing is, see, he didn't know about that mama sitting back there who had just found that her child was viewing pornography online the night before. He didn't know anything about that man who had just found out that his wife was having conversations with another man. He didn't know anything about that single mama that was trying to figure out, do I want to buy groceries or do I want to pay the light bill? He didn't know anything about any of that. He didn't know anything about that man that had just got back from the doctor Friday, who told him we're going to have to do further tests. It could be bad. And so it's not always easy to put on a happy face, is it? It's not always easy to come into church and smile and act like everything's all right. And we've all done it, haven't we? I mean, any of y'all ever fought like cats and dogs on the way to church and get out of the car and come to the door and the preacher say, how y'all doing? Both of you smile and lie. Good, good. We're doing good. But the fact is we do live in a real world. And when the Bible commands us to rejoice, the obvious question is how can I rejoice in some of the situations that I face in this life? Well, he didn't say rejoice in the situations that we face in this life. What he did say was rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometime, not most of the time, but the word was always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case that didn't settle on us, he said, and again I say, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. He's called on us to do something that's possible, to rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 10. In verse number 20, I want to show you something there. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20. I'll be there in just a minute. Luke chapter 10, verse number 20. Here's what the Word of God says. Tell you what, verse 20 is where we want to focus, but for understanding's sake, let's back up a little bit to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now this is the 70 that he sent out to do his work. Verse 18 says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. I believe that's what Paul is referencing. That's the brand of rejoicing that he's talking about in Philippians 4:4. When he says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen, there's going to be a lot of days in this walk of life that we can't rejoice over temporal circumstances and situations. Sometimes doctors do have terrible, terrible news for us. Sometimes the banker has terrible news. The boss man has terrible news. Everybody has terrible news for us at times. But I tell you, if we've ever been redeemed by the good grace of God, if we know what it is to stand at the base of Sinai and look upon the tablets of the law and recognize ourselves a hell-deserved sinner, and then to travel from there to the base of Calvary and look upon a wooden cross where the Lamb of God shed his blood for the sin of the world. And there we've seen hope. We've seen sacrifice on our behalf, and we called out to God for mercy and grace in repentance and faith. And God had abundant mercy and grace toward us and birthed us again, made us a child of God, gave us a brand new nature. That's what Paul is saying, rejoice in. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us to rejoice in. He said, all of this is wonderful. He said, don't worry about rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that what we sung about? There's a new name written in heaven. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Aren't you glad that your name is in the Lamb's book of life? That it's written down and no one can remove it. No one can take it away. You're saved by the good grace of God. Turn further over to the left with me, if you would, to the book of the Psalms. Psalms 107. I want to read a couple of verses there for you. Psalms 107 and verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What a verse. It continues in verse number 2, the psalm does, and says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What a wonderful text. Verse number 2 being the central verse, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." The redeemed of God's not to be a tongue-tied crowd. They're not to be undercover. They're not to be silent about the matter. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. Redeemed means to be purchased out of the possession of another. And we were purchased when we were saved by the grace of God. We were purchased out of the possession of another. Amen. Some of y'all are old enough to remember, maybe have participated in the activity that I'm about to mention. But some of us, when we grew up, mom and daddy didn't have money to give us to go get a Coke and a candy bar. That was out of the question. But you could walk down the side of the road, and if you'd take your time and look good in the road ditch, you could find Coke bottles. And on the bottom of that bottle, it'd say redeemable by 5 cents or 10 cents or whatever the price would be. And what you would do is you would pick up enough of those and you'd take them to the store. And if you had 10 of them and if they were redeemable by 10 cents, that meant you had a dollar worth of empty Coke bottles. The store clerk could give you a dollar and then you could take that dollar and you could buy a Coke and a candy bar, moon pie, naps, whatever you wanted, whatever you had enough bottles to buy. That was good times, wasn't it? Well, the Coca-Cola company had said, "I made this bottle. I instituted the original design and purpose of this bottle. And this bottle has come into the possession of another that has deemed it to be unfit and unworthy and unuseful for any cause." And that's what happened. Somebody took that bottle, Brother Raymond, and they turned it up and they took what they thought was every drop of goodness that was out of it, and it no longer served a purpose. And they rolled the window down and they threw it out the window, unconcerned with it, for it to lay there and get filled with brackish water and mud and crickets and spiders and whatever else. But then one day somebody come walking along that seen some value in it and took it back to the manufacturer. And the manufacturer took that bottle and they cleaned it first on the inside, got any impurities out of the inside, got it completely sanitary. And then they refilled it with the product that it was originally intended to have. And then they sealed it and kept it off. Did you know that's a fairly accurate picture of what happened to you when God saved you? God had a design for you, had a plan for you. The devil, the flesh, and the world turned you up and took every drop of noticeable goodness out of you and discarded you and throwed you to the ditch. You served no purpose whatsoever. And most of this world would have looked at us and said, "They're not fit for anything. They're not good for nothing." But the precious Holy Ghost of God came walking by one day and said, "They do have purpose. They are good for something." And he took us back and he cleaned us on the inside first. Then he filled us with the Holy Ghost of God. Then he sealed us unto the day of redemption. That's exactly what happened with us. Is it any wonder when you consider that, that God would have told us in verse 2 here in Psalms 107 that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Old Slewfoot had you in his hand, Brother Raymond. He had me right where he wanted me. There wasn't a human alive, I don't think there was a soul living, Brother Booster, that knew me, that thought I would ever be fit for anything. When a man's own mama says it's hopeless, it's looking pretty bleak, beloved. It's looking pretty bleak. But I'm thankful that 30 years and 13 days after he came by your way, he made a stop at the intersection of Cane Creek and Turnpike Road at a little Blumbrick Baptist Church on the side of the road about 9 o'clock on a Monday night, where I was lost and undone without God, and saved my soul.
Yes, sir.
Set my feet upon a solid rock, established my goings.
Amen.
He gave my wife a brand new husband, give my children a brand new daddy, give my mama a brand new son.
Yeah.
He changed it all, didn't
Amen.
He?
Praise God.
You say, oh, Brother Ronnie, I wasn't in the shape you were. Yeah, but you was headed to the same place I was.
Yeah.
You had no more hope than I did.
Right.
No more hope than I did. And when he came to where you were, he done the same for you that he done for me. He pulled you up out of the miry clay, set your feet upon a solid rock, established your going. I bless his name tonight. I think about Brother Sammy. How often I heard him quote that 103rd Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He'd make you recite it with him, by the way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
He's been good to us, hasn't he, church?
Sure has.
Far better than we deserve.
Amen.
I told my brother here earlier, he said, how you doing? I said, better than I deserve. He said, I guess we all are, aren't we? I said, yes, sir. Any of us that's not in hell tonight, we're doing better than we deserve.
Right.
Doing better than we deserve.
Amen.
God's been good to us.
Amen.
I'm glad to see you tonight, Brother Raymond. I missed seeing you here this morning. That's why I cared enough to send you a good lunch plate. I missed you this morning. But I'm glad God gave you health and ability to be at the house of God tonight.
Right.
But you know what's better than that, Brother Raymond? That he give us all the desire to be here.
Amen.
Don't you remember a time in your life, Brother Raymond? I don't know your history, but I know that you're a child of Adam. There's a time in your life, even if you felt like it, you wouldn't have been at church on a Sunday night. But thank God, thank God.
Yeah.
Jesus moved in.
Amen.
And changed everything, didn't
right.
he? Ain't you glad he touched me?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. A broke watch is right twice a day, and a blind hog will find acorn every now and then. And when old Bill Gaither wrote that song, he touched me.
Yeah.
He knocked her out of the park there,
Amen.
Didn't he? He did touch us.
Amen.
And something wonderful happened when he did.
Amen.
We're not everything we ought to be. We're certainly not everything we're going to be.
That's right.
Thank God we're not what we used to be.
Amen.
To be here in this place with these people
right.
at this time, this very night, what a privilege.
Amen.
What a privilege and what an honor. So I'm closing this way. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I promise you, I'm not the preacher that tries to muster up emotional services and responses to messages or anything like that. I had a sermon I could preach, but I'm just going the direction that the Lord nudged me. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do what God commanded you to do. He said that we are to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And Jesus said, don't rejoice over these things of the earth, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And I'm telling you that I am thankful tonight.
Amen.
If God doesn't do one more thing for me, Sister Willistine, he's done more for me than I deserve.
Right.
If God takes, and I hope he doesn't, but if God takes everything from me, Miss Ann, family, home, land, health, if he takes everything from me, he's been better to me than I deserve. Can I say it to you this way, folks? God doesn't owe us anything.
Amen. You're right.
God doesn't owe us anything. But his mercies are new every morning.
Yes, sir.
And he's good to us.
Amen.
He's good to us every day. And I'm thankful for his goodness.
Amen.
I don't have another thing to say. That's all I've got. I've heard young preachers say that all my life and couldn't stand to hear them say it. That's all I got. But that's all I have to say. But I wonder if you've got anything to say. Is there anybody here tonight? I don't want to pressure anybody. You're under no obligation to. If nobody's got nothing to say, we'll pray and dismiss and go eat. But the Lord nudged me to share these verses with you and give his people an opportunity. Y'all got grand youngins, a lot of you do. Great grand youngins, and I bet they are great. And you know they love you. But there ain't nothing like it when they come and hop up in your lap. My oldest granddaughter, she come right up to my side the other day, her head don't come up to my belt. She leaned up against me and wrapped her arm around me. And she said, "You my sweet papa." I said, "Yeah, you my sweet sissy." If we love for our youngins and grand youngins every once in a while just to tell us that they love us, don't you reckon he does too?
Amen.
Sure he does. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." No pressure applied to you tonight, but if you want to just testify and thank God in your own words for what he's done to you, the service is yours at this point. Anybody? God's house with you tonight.
Amen.
Been good to be in God's house. I want to thank him for his goodness in our lives. And for his mercy. Where would we be if not for the mercy and goodness of God?
Amen.
No telling.
Right.
Tell you what, Brother Ernest, you and Sister Willistine come. I feel like we ought to at least have a verse or two of invitation. Somebody may want to just come to the altar and thank God for his goodness and mercy in their life. May have something else you need to do business with the Lord over. We want to give you an opportunity to come to an altar and take care of whatever business you need to take care of, whether it be prayer, thanksgiving, or whatever it might be.